Automotives, a podcast covering the most important issues for the automotive aftermarket industry in Europe and beyond. Brought to you by Fajifa.
Hello, dear friends of the independent automotive aftermarket. We have a new episode of Automotives, and I am very happy to have with us today a very special guest to us, Fotios Katsardis, the CEO and president of one of our international trade groups, Timot. I will introduce Timot very briefly in a moment, but I am so happy to have Fotios today for the specific discussion we're going to have today, because we're going to address the issue of the role of SMEs in general in the automotive aftermarket, but in particular in parts distribution and wholesaling. As most of our listeners know, a big part of our membership is made of family businesses. Depending on which measurement you take for considering a company an SME or not, depending on the revenue or depending on the number of employees, you might categorize them into SMEs or not, but a big, big part of our membership is made of family businesses. And Timot, with over 106 warehouse and shareholders distributions across six continents and over 100 countries, is specifically big in SME membership. So I'm very happy to have Fotios today with us because he's the right voice for this specific topic. Fotios, very, very warm welcome to you.
Dear Alvaro, thank you very much for having me here. It's wonderful, and thank you for the very, very nice introduction on that one. Indeed, I'm Fotios Katsardis, and I'm the CEO and the president of Timot International, an organization that is indeed active in the automotive aftermarket the last 30 years. And as you rightly pointed out, consisting mainly of family-owned organizations, but we would be possibly indeed classify them within the context of the SMEs, although the criteria, as we all know, they are differing from country to country or from the size of the economy, etc., etc.
Indeed. Well, thank you again, Fotios. Let's jump into it. I wanted to first ask you, could you briefly describe the significance of SMEs in the independent part distribution sector?
I think that everybody knows that the and we are not discussing and we are not limiting it to the small medium enterprises within a specific sector, but the SMEs are of a fundamental importance practically for every single economy. We are starting from over there. Even all the startups of once upon a time that today they are mighty organizations, they have started from somewhere. So from both the theory but in practice as well, the SMEs are kind of foundational. And in the an independent aftermarket, of course, they are indeed the backbone of the economies, as we always preaching, or as we're always seeing, analyzing economically the structure of all the countries, especially in Europe as well. The SMEs are contributing not only to the economical, but also to the society, and they are creating employment, they are creating they're supporting the local economies. We see it in our independent aftermarket structure as such, that they are having as well a very high level of community engagement. They're very, very strong in their local and regional activities. They maintain a huge presence in smaller regions. So they are not normally at the multinational level. They are offering very much of specialized and personalized services. And of course, through this socio-economic approach in the market, they are quite competitive in their region and in their own areas. socially from this perspective, this kind of family-owned organizations and regionally somehow rooted companies, they serve like a bridge between the global supply chains and the local consumer bases as well. And they are sustaining in that way regional economies. And what we always have seen, and we have seen it as well through the crisis, they are increasingly and very, very resilient from this perspective.
Sure. No, no. And as we always preach, the main beauty of the independent aftermarket parts distribution is that we serve every single corner. And as you said, this regional aspect is important because we are not only in urban metropolitan areas, but also in the in every little region of Europe, serving and servicing mobility for everyone. You talk about how every big company has been an SME at the beginning. What kind of unique challenges do you think SMEs face compared to these larger companies in our industry nowadays?
Well, the SMEs in particular, I think in any case, there is a very, very complex environment on which we are operating, and the challenges are indeed throughout the chain, throughout the distribution, more or less in the same direction, but especially the small, medium enterprises. They encounter always a kind of challenges because of their own structure. And because of their own structure as family-owned organization, for instance, in many cases, you have significant issues on the level of succession, for instance, on the level of continuity of an organization that is brilliant, but often lack of a formal structure of resources, for instance, to ensure as well smooth transitions between generations. And this is potentially threatening long-term continuity. This is an issue, of course, which is having to do probably with the social web as well, the social structure that we're having as well in our economies. But additionally, without any doubt, because of their nature, size, structure, they face competition from larger organizations, and there is nothing over there to demonize. This is exactly the competitive nature of any kind of market. But of course, in comparison to the bigger organizations, they have always these challenges on the level of high scale, on the procurement, in the resources, access on the resources, etc. And this kind of disparity sometimes places, you know, these SMEs at a competitive disadvantage. It leads to pressures, you know, among the pricing, the margins, all these sort of things that smaller organizations are not exactly, you know, in a position to tackle easily from this perspective, let alone the fact that these organizations are not exactly, you know, the best friends of banks or whatever. The refinancing is occurring within the organization and all these sort of things. They are bringing a kind of rather competitive position in the market, or the adoption, for instance, of technologies, the adoption of or the transition into new kind of issues, the transformation. It takes sometimes, even if they are very, very agile, but it takes a little bit longer simply because they are not the early adopters of any kind of, let's say, changes that are occurring in the market. All in all, a kind of a structural problem which is coming normally from the size and the ability as well to react or to go proactively to changes that are occurring in the market.
Naturally. Yeah, definitely. And following up that thought, could you be able to identify some support mechanisms or resources that are available to help SMEs thrive in the current market?
Well, I think in from that perspective, and especially if we are speaking about as well our common European economic ground, there has been a lot of discussion and as well a lot of considerations in the past due to very important role, of course, of the small medium enterprises in the economy, European economy, but also in other parts of the world it's the same, but especially in the European community has been a lot of, I would say, very sensible approach to that, and in which way we can reinforce indeed the SMEs and indeed help them to thrive in to thrive in the market. It varies from country to country. We have to say that. So we have different models. We have the German model, for instance, with the decentralization, the SMEs, they have become the hidden world champions in many cases. We have different kind of approaches as well in the financial aid, in the training, in the technological support. In some regions all over Europe, you have governmental programs. You have the industry associations that they are pushing as well in the direction of creating infrastructure that it is enabling as well the SMEs to operate better and more effectively. Digital platforms, for instance, in the last 5 years. In many cases, however, all these kind of resources somehow underutilized. And from this perspective, due to the fact that the SMEs typically are lacking this kind of strong refinancing strategies, or you know, the established refinancing relationships with banks, etc., etc., they found themselves investing in growth from their own limited resources, but they are not that much always aware of the support provided or of the schemes provided on a pan-European level or on a national level. Because for them, you know, navigating in this kind of complex processes and without coordinated support, it is difficult, and they are somehow left alone to manage all this kind of high complexity and costs of adaptation independently, individually, in a kind of wider framework.
I get that, and I wanted to briefly come back to this notion you mentioned for specific cases like in Germany, which sometimes the SMEs could be the champions in the landscape. Would you have in mind a success story that you could share with our audience of the impact of an SME within the parts distribution network?
I think that we can find that actually I can be very impartial here as well, and I can bring a lot of examples. Our sector is characterized of wonderful, indeed, stories of SMEs, extremely successful, that they have grown up, but they have grown up as well to an international level, multinational level as well. So even if we are looking on the side of our dear suppliers, for instance, we will find companies. I guess I'm not mistaken to say that most of our suppliers today, they have started as smaller companies once upon a time, as you know, this kind of huge inventiveness, this kind of huge entrepreneur spirit that they started little by little. I guess even Bosch started as a small company once upon a time with the inventor of Robert Bosch establishing the very first small workshops, but even a system of wholesaling in Hamburg once upon a time, But if we are looking as well the very well-known examples of today, I'm sure that as well LKQ started once upon a time as a small company, or Intercars, if I may say.
Sure, of course.
And of course, they can be proud of that one, of what they have made on that one. We have within the organization a lot of cases like that. And I can always bring the examples of our German organization or of our French organization, that it is as well consisting of all these small, medium enterprises, and they are doing fine. They are very competitive in the market, and all of them, they are creating as well at the very end a very complex but a very efficient as well distribution network. Really good and important cases in the market.
An encouraging message to all of our members, regardless of your size. Keep doing the great job you do. You might become the next Robert Bosch in a few decades. Who knows?
Well, but this is the case as well. All these small companies that they're having as well a great issue over there, because they tend to cooperate more. Mm. They tend indeed to create from this perspective the framework in order to be much more competitive in the market and serve indeed the market needs in the best possible way.
Patios, to wrap up, what message could you convey to policymakers, especially here in the EU, regarding the needs of SMEs in general, but also in the automotive industry?
First of all, for the automotive industry, I think that we all agree that the policymakers, they do have a very, very serious task over there. And this task is to bring this market in an equilibrium from the perspective, of course, of creating the necessary framework for the sector to operate in a fair and in a competitive way. And I think that is the task of the policymakers whenever something is going. And it is a characteristic of sectors in a transition and in a transformation that the sectors are going to a disequilibrium. And there it is where the legislation is playing indeed the most significant role. And from this perspective, I think I'm speaking for all of us in the aftermarket. We want to secure that the aftermarket is from this perspective, and all the players, big and smaller players, are enjoying a framework on which they can compete equally and indeed bring the best in the market. But the policymakers, especially at the level of the small, medium enterprises, they should strengthen the regulatory framework as well for the SMEs. Reduce bureaucratic barriers. We know how difficult it is to operate in many areas, and facilitate actively the growth. Ensure that the SMEs have access to support systems for financing, for technology, and of course workforce development, which is going to be among the biggest issue, if not already, which we are having in developed economies. They should provide more accessible growth resources, create incentives for the long-term competitiveness, and our market should remain and should be much more competitive on that one. And at the end of the day, this is, I think, the issue for all the policymakers, and that's why they are over there, to ensure and secure that the future of all these businesses, which are substantial, bringing substantial contributions for the economic vitality of the European community, but also for the community resilience, need indeed a great support in order to continue and exist successfully in a market, as we said, that it is changing rapidly and it's posing additionally and continuous challenges.
New European commissioners, new members of the European Parliament, you heard Fotios, you heard us many times. The backbone of the European economy relies on SMEs. We offer products and services to absolutely every kind of customer, in every corner of Europe at reasonable prices, sustainable, and not top-notch technological quality. Fotios, it has been a pleasure to have you with us. It's always a pleasure to discuss with you. Let's catch up soon again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Great speaking to you. Thank you very much.
And thank you all for listening once again. We will be back soon with another episode of Automotives covering the most significant issues affecting the automotive industry in general and specifically the independent aftermarket. Thank you, folks. See you soon.
That was today's Automotives episode. Subscribe to our channels for more to come.